Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
And I want to welcome to the stage Peter, Miriam, and Karen. If you're back there somewhere, would you give them a round of applause? You guys can grab a seat anywhere you like. Miriam, promise to be on your best behavior, please. No promises. Oh, that's a bit of a worry. Hey, we just thought we'd share with you guys a little bit of the journey that we've been on, obviously, as a church through that video, but also we'd love to hear from some of these guys on the panel who've graciously given us their time and are no doubt a little bit nervous, as they've told me a few times. So make sure you encourage them. If you hear even a bad answer, encourage them, because it'll make them less nervous. So maybe, Karen, we'll start with you first. I guess, you know, we've been at the church unpacking and discussing this whole legacy thing, but what does that, I mean, it's a bit of a daunting word to some people. What does it kind of mean to you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a little bit. What is legacy? I guess for me, legacy is twofold. It's what's been left for me by the people that have, you know, the older generations, the people that have gone before, and what am I leaving for the generations to come after me or the younger generations? And I realised as well, our legacy is how we will be remembered. And legacy can be in every area of life. It's like, what legacy am I leaving at my workplace? What legacy am I leaving with my children, with my family, with my friends? How will I be remembered? How do I want to be remembered? I guess is the biggest thing for me. That's what legacy is.
Great, Karen. Miriam, how about you? What does legacy mean to you?
Yeah, I think legacy to me, just being like a young person, I guess, only 18 years old, it's mostly what people have left for me now. Even though I have started my whole life building my own legacy, it's been really impacted by what people have left for me. Like even this church right now, like growing up here, so many people who have left a legacy and so many have passed on have left a legacy. And that what they've done and what they've sown into the kingdom, how what their character has been, what they've put in financially, every aspect of their life is affecting mine. And so a legacy is so powerful. It's actually a gift from God to us, and it's a godly principle. And you can see it so evidently, and I can see it personally in my own life. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. How old were you when you first...
Five. Came?
5 years old?
Yeah.
Do you remember much about those days?
Yeah.
You were destroying... good things or bad things? You were destroying this building, weren't you?
A bit of both, hey?
A bit of both?
A lot's changed, but yeah, for the better.
But your brother mainly, right?
Yeah.
I've seen the incident reports for this building.
Yeah.
Signed with your last name. Peter, what does it mean to you to exist, I guess, in a community of faith, you know, as we are here at a church where, you know, so many mothers and fathers have kind of gone before you, but what does that mean to exist in that kind of bubble or that kind of greenhouse?
Well, it's very moving, actually, because this building is a perfect example of that this building didn't look like this even when we first came, and when it was first built, it was completely realigned, and I think it just reminds me that I have the privilege of being part of something that's bigger than me. And I can walk in here, and even during my short lifetime in this church of 5 or 6 years, I can see things have changed and grown, and I realize that I'm part of that, not through my own effort. I did nothing to make this building appear, but I know that people went before me, and some of them sacrificed enormous things like mortgages, and they put their hearts and their bank accounts into this very building that we're sitting in now. And to be able to come in and be a part of that and to see that transform in front of my eyes is moving. I mean, it's very moving.
Yeah, great. And maybe to go on from that, what does it mean for you, I guess, to be a part of an environment where you do see, you know, a flourishing or a growing next generation and younger generation like Miriam coming through?
I think people like Miriam keep us honest, and they remind us that whatever we're doing today, it's not going to define us for the rest of our lives. And they keep us fresh. And we can also bring a perspective to their lives too, because we might hear something from God and we can bring that into a conversation, and that might encourage a younger person or an older person to see their mistake, for example, as not necessarily something that's going to define their lives, but something that they've just walked through. So when all of these facets, these different people of different generations come together, well, I guess it is like the facets of a diamond, that the more facets there are, the more the love of God can be reflected out into the world to his creation. We all benefit from that.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. And Karen, I guess, you know, we you know, in churches and outside of churches, we hear really the world's calling on to this as well, especially coming out of COVID and really kind of after COVID, but WA, but this thought of, you know, like you're better together, you're better in community, but also it's great to be planted somewhere, you know, it's great to be planted in the church. We know the biblical principle of it. The world's kind of stolen it, but, you know, to be planted in the house of God, those people will be nurtured and flourish and they will grow. But tell us a bit about what that means to you, I guess. Maybe in your own life and your family's journey, the benefits of being planted and how that's come about.
Yeah, I guess for me, I have moved around a lot. And at times it has meant not being planted and therefore means not growing. That's the simple word of it. you know, I got a beautiful picture thinking about this. Excuse me. I love sitting in my garden. I'm not a gardener, but I love sitting in my garden. And just looking at the trees and stuff and knowing that the trees that grow the strongest and put the deepest roots down are the ones that are planted in the garden. The ones that are in the pots will only ever grow so much. And every time you transplant a plant, it has a period of not growing because it's got to settle and it's got to spread its roots out and whatever else it does. But it pauses the growth every time it gets moved. And the importance of being in the house is, planted in the house, is we can never imagine the long-term consequences of not being planted in the house, put it that way.
And I guess to continue on with that, you've probably seen, you know, probably gone a little bit off script, but you've seen firsthand the benefits of your family. But I guess, you know, from someone younger who's got, you know, toddlers right now and wishing that stage might end anytime soon, to someone who maybe has seen that go already, when you were to close your eyes, I guess, when you were younger and you see, you know, your children, you see Brianna on stage leading worship before, could you ever have imagined, I guess, the impact of what you and Dean as mum and dad did to get them to where they are right now?
Not at all.
Yeah,
not at all. It was a matter of being faithful day to day.
Yeah.
Making God a priority, making the house a priority, and just praying and trusting God.
Yeah.
That was our bit.
Yeah.
The rest was up to God. But I'm blown away all the time.
Yeah.
I look at my kids and I'm blessed. They are all serving in the house of God.
Mm.
And I just, sometimes I stand back and I go, oh, that wasn't me.
That was Dean.
That was Dean. But it's the faithfulness of God. But it's putting his things in order.
Yeah.
And then the faithfulness of God flows from that.
Yeah. And I'll ask you a question to follow up from that because that was really important what you said. Was it easy?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. The mornings, and, you know, we all remember with the toddlers and, you know, you walk through the door with a smile on your face and it certainly has not been like that in the house or in the car. And there were some days where you just wish you could just stay home.
Yeah.
But it was priority.
Mm.
It was saying, no, God is first in our life.
Yeah.
We're not going to put anything else first.
Yeah.
And
beautiful.
The fruitfulness pays off for that.
Awesome. Miriam, what does it mean to you to, I guess, love God but also love the house of God?
Yeah, I guess, like, if you love God, there's two things that Jesus really commands us to do here, is to love God but to love his people.
Mm.
And not only his people, the ones that are outside of his home.
Mm.
And so that is really what it's about. And church is a place where I myself am here to serve God. And it's a place where, obviously, like Karen was saying, you're planted and you're growing. But it's in that service as well that God is revealing things to you and God is showing you how to build your character and he's showing you how to love others more, especially when you don't want to. You know, there are days where it's difficult to love people. You come to church and it's not about you anymore. You know what I mean? It's about reflecting God. And that's even outside the community, but church especially, where you love him so much that you want to love his children the same way he loves his children. And so that's, I think that should be every Christian's goal. Like, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But each day it's, God, help me to love. God, help me to see these people the way that you see them, Jesus. Help me to truly love out of compassion. I think that's what it is. It's just about being selfless in your love, being sacrificial in your love, and whether that's your time, whether that's your money, whatever it looks like, it's about putting God's kingdom first and, loving his people.
Awesome. Beautiful answer, Miriam. Peter, I guess, you know, we, as human beings, we sometimes have a tendency to, what's common in our lives, we treat with contempt, you know, and we've had many people who walked into all of our different campuses and they kind of say, is this real? Like, are the guys on stage, are they being paid? Like, you guys are really good at karaoke, you know, like, but for us, you know, inside, we can kind of treat it as common, you know, because it's every day, so we kind of treat it with contempt. I guess for yourself, Peter, you know, being inside the house as you got older, but also growing up, maybe not as inside the house, could you share a little bit about what that was like and about the things that maybe we might take for granted sometimes, but that maybe looking back on it now, you don't?
Well, that's a nice, easy question. I think what comes to mind is that when I walked away from the church that I'd been brought up in as a child for 30 years, maybe it was probably longer than that, about 30 years, and my life went in a very bad direction. I lost a lot of things. I lost a marriage, money, a lot of things. And then one night I was walking in Melbourne, and I saw an old church, and I just knew that there was something good inside that building, even though it was a dark and raining night. And obviously the presence of God was showing me something that just resonated in my heart, and I wanted that. So the moment I got back to Perth, I took steps to find out more about what that was, and I found the heart of God in this church that I subsequently went to, and it turned my life around. I recognized that not only was there something good in there was something safe, and I think that was far greater than me. So or anything I could have done, and anything I even asked for. I remember walking in Melbourne that night, and I said, God, whoever you are, I could do with a hand right now. That was all I said. And he just gave me that revelation, and then everything turned around from that moment. It was astonishing. So that's what I want for people who are walking by your street out the front here. It might be 9 o'clock on a Thursday night, and it's raining. And they might look out at the wall and see the emblem there and have that encounter. So that's my heart for them, that they will come in this door on Sunday and just want to know more.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for that. That was really, really honest and transparent. Miriam, I guess, why are you so passionate, not just about the house, like you said, but about this really building our future season that we're heading into? What are you passionate about, or what are you believing for?
Well, first of all, obviously, like with my history, I've grown up in this church. And so I've seen the changes of people. I've seen the changes and renovations. Like, the stage was not here growing up. And so it's just like knowing that when people sowed, it was for this and it was for me. And so when I sow, it's for the people that I can't see. It's for the souls that I haven't even like encountered yet, met.
Yeah, correct.
And so I'm passionate about it because I know how much it's affected my life. But I also believe that God continues to do new things so that there is more ahead. And so I'm like, if I'm selfless and I'm willing to give or sacrifice whatever it is, including money, that God is going to use that.
Yeah, great.
And that's not for nothing.
Yeah, great.
Like, whatever we have in our hands that God's placed, he will use.
Great.
And so it's just, I guess, just like whatever you have in your hands that God's placed in your heart to give, give, because that is for someone else's encounter.
That is
to transform another generation, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about us. And I think that's the whole heart of legacy. It's not really about us. So
great.
You just, your highest ceiling, your highest accomplishment, whatever it is someone else's foundation.
Yeah,
so make it the best that it can be
for
someone else, the next generation to build onto.
Great. Great.
And so I've seen that in my life so evidently. And so I'm passionate about that because I know God's got so much more for this church.
Yeah, great.
And God's got so much more for those youth kids that come in every Friday, hungry for something, so desperate for something. And us building into that is building into their lives.
Great,
even if we pass on, we know that our God will never change. Our God is faithful. Our God is watching over us. So let us be part of it. That's my heart,
Awesome. Karen, why are you so passionate, I guess, about this season that we're in, Generations Building Our Future?
I just love Generations. It's family. That's what family is. Mm. Family is all about Generations. Mm. You know, when I was sitting yesterday, thinking through the questions and pondering, why building our future? God gave me a picture of my life, but kind of. Let me explain. I went to a boarding school in Pakistan, right up in the mountains, and I was thinking about the establishing of that boarding school. So it was in 1956, a group of missionaries needed a boarding school, somewhere for their kids to go. So they sowed into that boarding school. I can 100% guarantee you they had no clue that a 14-year-old girl from Australia would need a safe place and somewhere to really encounter God for the first time. Many, many, many years later, they had no clue. They were sowing into what they could see. The really cool thing about that is some of the founding members, their daughter came back as staff while I was there, and I built a really close relationship with her, and she really sowed into my life. But then step on from that, many years later, Brianna was in America doing a student exchange, and for a period there, she just needed somewhere safe to go to, and Brianna was actually able to go and stay at this person's place in America, and they were able to minister to her. And I thought, all that, because these people sowed back there, they had no clue. But so it's just so much about the generations. Building our future is, yes, we need it now, but it's all about the generations. We don't know. And it's beyond this building, totally beyond this building. You know, Brianna never went to the boarding school, but she was ministered to because those people sowed back there. And that's what this is about. Way beyond this building. It's the generations to come.
Come on, amen. Hey, would you give these guys a round of applause? And I thought it would be really great. You know, a lot of the time at church, we do obviously pray for our generations and we spend a lot of time praying for our next generation. But I thought it would be great to have our next generation pray for us as a church. So would you stand to your feet where you are right now? And Miriam, it'd be a privilege to get you to pray over our church. Would you stretch your hands out right now as well? Miriam, would you just pray over us?
Father God, I thank you that you are a generational God. I thank you that you care about the young children. I thank you that you care about the older generation. I thank you, God, that you are a God who's always gone before us. You know the plans ahead, Father. You have good plans for your children. And so, Father God, I just pray that you would soften our hearts to be able to participate. And what a privilege it is, God, to participate with your story, Father, your plan, Father God. And so, Father, I just pray for every single person in this room. I pray that throughout this week, Lord, that you would just reveal to them what they need to lay down, what they need to surrender, what they need to put for the next generation ahead. God, I just pray a blessing over this church, Father God. I thank you for the young ones that are going to rise up. I thank you for the people that are going to walk into this room, Father God, not knowing the history, Father, but be so impacted by everything that everyone has done. Be so impacted by you, Father God. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you are teaching us new things. I thank you that you are doing new things, Father God. And I pray that you would help us be a part of it. I pray that you would give us the faith that we need to take that step forward, Father, to be like, to surrender that it's not about us, God, but we pray your will be done, Father. Your kingdom come. You get all the glory, Lord Jesus. Would salvation come in this church, Father God? Would there be such a revival, Father Lord? And so, God, I just thank you. I thank you that faith is stirring in our hearts, Father, that we are going to give more than we could possibly think that we could, Lord, in every area of our life, God. Would we surrender to you? Everything that you've given us that is in our hands, Father, would you use for your glory? Would you use for your kingdom? Would you use for the generations to come? We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. Could you give him one last round of applause? Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.